Well, my intent when I began studying this week was to continue in our study in Luke chapter 21, where we left off about 2 weeks ago. And for most of you, you know we've been working our way through Luke's gospel for many, many months. And even these last few weeks, we've been looking particularly at Luke chapter 21, where Jesus has been telling his disciples the events that would happen in the future. And how they are not to be afraid, they're not to be terrified. There are things that must happen before the end. And we will get back to Luke in the next week or two. But I felt that it would be helpful for us to build on what the Lord had for us out of Colossians chapter 3 that we looked at last Sunday. Last Sunday we looked at Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4, just at the glorious realities of what is true for the Christian who has been raised with Christ. And if you were here, I hope your heart was blessed and challenged and encouraged by the Word of God. And my desire today is that we build upon that blessing and that challenge and that encouragement. And so last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we are confronted by the reality that the believer, the follower of Jesus, is a person who has been raised with Christ. And we were calling him a raised with Christ kind of person. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, we discovered three things that are true of the raised with Christ kind of person. First, we saw that raised with Christ people, they first of all fixate on things pertaining to Christ. People who have been raised with Christ are commanded by God's word, we saw this, they are commanded to seek and to set their minds on things above, where Christ is. Christ must be the ultimate focus of all that we pursue in life and all that we meditate on in this life. Secondly, we saw last Sunday that raised with Christ kind of people must have died. And this is actually the reason why they do focus on Jesus Christ. The only way they can live their lives focusing on Jesus Christ is that they themselves, the passage says, have died. Which makes a lot of sense, if you think about it. Only someone who has died can then be raised. But we understand that this is not a physical death that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about. When the Word of God says here in Colossians 3 that you died, God is talking about the death of the old, rebellious you. It's dead. The old you that loved living life your own way. The old you that lived for your own self-interests. The old you that pursued self-pleasure and self-gratification, that old you who lived for self, by living for self, we recognize this, we lived as enemies against God. You were born a rebel, a lawbreaker. And the only way to escape God's eternal wrath on rebels that all of God's enemies will face one day is to surrender to God, to repent of your rebellious, self-focused way, and believe that only the death of God's own Son in your place can satisfy God's wrath, and let the old, self-seeking you die. That all you needed to die. And maybe there's somewhere here today who has not experienced the death of the old you. Maybe the you that's sitting here today listening this morning is still that rebel in the sight of God who is living his own way, seeking what pleases himself or herself. My friend, if you want to escape the wrath of God, you have to die. For you to be raised with Christ, you must first die, having exchanged a life focused on you for a life focused on Christ. Christ, not you, must be your fixation. Christ, not you, must be your life. And the third thing we discovered last Sunday about raised with Christ kind of people is that they will share glory with Christ when Christ returns. They're going to come with Him in His glory and rule with Him and reign with Him on this earth because they belong to Him. So we see that our priority is to pursue Christ. Our reason is that we have died. And God's promise to us who have died and been raised with Christ is shared glory with Christ when He returns. So you got that all crystallized in your mind from last Sunday? Hopefully it's summarized enough so you can go forward with it. This is the reality for those who have been raised with Christ. Right now, for the believer, my life, your life, it's up there. Because who's up there? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life right now. As we live and breathe on this earth, He's our life. All of what we do is and must be bound up and connected to Him. And only those who, through faith in Jesus Christ, have died are able to see Christ as their life. Right? So someone might hear this and they're still in their old rebellious state, and it's like, well, I'm going to try really hard to make Christ my life. It's not going to work. You have to be born again. You have to die. God has to give you those eyes of faith, to see that Jesus Christ is the whole point of everything. Now, if you're here this morning and you have experienced this death of the rebel you, you know that the old you is dead. You know that intuitively by personal experience. You remember what you were before it happened, and now you know what you're like after it happened, and it's night and day. And you can genuinely, with certainty, say, God has won me to His side. God has given me a new love for Him that didn't exist before. God has given me a new desire to please Him that I didn't have before. God has given me a new direction in life that's solely focused on His Son, Jesus Christ. That wasn't true before. But then you take a look, right? So let's say, for example, that you just put your faith in Jesus Christ yesterday. You've been born again. The old you has died. You've been made a new creature. You've been raised with Christ because of faith in Him. You've been tied to His resurrection. You are now alive in Him. And then you look around. And what do you see that remains from that old rebellious lifestyle? You see a lot of baggage. There's a lot of baggage in people's lives that have just been delivered from their sin. And the thought that comes to your mind is, what a mess. I mean, maybe you have sinful practices that up to this point you've been engaging in. You have sinful relationships that you're currently in. Maybe you have addictions that your body is dependent on. Your rebellious self has been blind to it all before, but now that the rebel you is dead, God has opened your eyes to see it, and you're like, what a mess! And now we know that God gives new life to a huge variety of people from different walks of life, doesn't He? The sinful baggage that a person has is going to be different for each person. For example, the 12-year-old who has been brought up in a Christian home with parents who love the Lord, the sinful baggage that he brings into that new life is going to be far smaller than the sinful baggage of the alcoholic or the prostitute. But every one of us who are born again, every one of us who by faith in Jesus Christ have surrendered our rebel selves up to death, we all come into this new life with some kind of sinful baggage. And as we continue reading on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, God's word illustrates this sinful baggage by picturing it as earthly body parts. It's kind of a weird picture. Right? So as we read here, Scripture calls it your members, which are on the earth. That literally means limbs or body parts. Now, sometimes at home or around the church building during the week, I come across one of those big, long-legged centipedes. I don't know, you know what I'm talking about? Like the ones with the really long legs. And it's like the whole, you know, it's a one big ball of movement every time it moves. And usually I find it in the kitchen sink or in the shower at home. And it's really, really disturbing when you come across it. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm not the only one here. What happens when you squash one of those centipedes? All its legs fall off, and what do they keep doing? They keep wiggling. Now, it's clear that the centipede is dead, right? He's a pancake. It no longer has any real control, but there is still movement. Friend, when you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is obvious that you have died. The old you is like the dead corpse of a freshly squashed centipede. The old rebel you is dead. But, and here's the emphasis that we have today before us, there is still movement in the old you body parts. So what does the raised with Christ person do with these moving, still somewhat active, old rebel me body parts? Because right, that's the imagery that it uses here. Let's see what God's word says here in Colossians 3, verse 5. He says, therefore, right, and we'll talk about what therefore is pointing back to. He says, therefore, put to death your members, your body parts, which are on the earth. Or you could say your earthly body parts connected to this old rebel you. Put it to death. And we understand, right? It says, which are on the earth. We understand that our life, we talked about this, our life is no longer on the earth. Where is our life? It's where Jesus is. Because he's our life. He is your life, and now through faith in Jesus, the old rebel you has died, and Christ has raised you with himself when he rose from the dead. Through faith, you are connected with his resurrection with a future promise that your physical body will be resurrected too. But there still lingers in you a remnant of that old rebel you that still have some form of movement. It still has some form of activity that is going on right after your faith is put in Jesus Christ. And since that old rebel you has died, and Christ is now your life's focus and pursuit, any remaining body parts or members of the old rebel you that are still experiencing movement, what does God's word say we need to do with them? What does it say? We need to put them to death. You and I must work to bring all remaining old rebel you movement to a complete and utter stop. That should be our heart's desire. So what does that even mean? All right, so we're talking about these earthly or rebel you body parts. What does it mean to put them to death? What does it even look like? Because that's kind of a weird phrase. God's word gives some important examples of these old rebel you body parts as we keep reading in verse 5. Let's see the list that he gives to us. Okay, so what are these old rebel you body parts that must be put to death? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now we see here there are actually three pairs of words here, each pair communicating a specific kind of old you lifestyle. The first pair of words we see here is the words fornication and uncleanness. And these words together communicate the practice of sexual immorality. Fornication comes from the Greek word porneia. Does that sound familiar? So we get our word pornography. And this word is used in the New Testament to describe any unlawful sexual relations. And by unlawful, we need to make very clear what we mean here. This is not talking about the law of any particular nation, for example, the United States. We're talking about the law of God, which supersedes any human-made law that our country might make. And only the sexual activity that the law of God upholds is the one that is permitted in this new, died to self, raised with Christ kind of life. And the Bible makes what that kind of relationship very clear. It is a marriage relationship between one man and one woman. Which means that any other relationship in which sexual activity takes place according to God's law is unlawful. This would include any sexual activity between two people of the same gender, regardless of the state's recognition of any so-called marriage. This would include sexual activity between a man or a woman and someone else's husband or wife, right? We call this adultery. This would also include sexual activity between two consenting unmarried people, which is the norm in our society. In the sight of God, all sexual activity outside the bounds of the biblical one man, one woman marriage relationship is unlawful. It's part of the old you way of life. It's part of the old rebel you who has died. And so if you truly have been raised with Christ, and the old rebel you has died, and Christ is your life, and you're in an unlawful sexual relationship according to the law of God revealed in God's word, that is an old rebel you activity that must cease completely. That is a lingering old you practice that you must put to death. There's no wiggle room on this matter, in other words. Now we come to the second pair of words that we see here in verse 5, and it's the words passion and evil desire. And these might be a little more self-explanatory. Passion has a sense of strong desire for something, and together with the words evil desire, it refers to a strong desire for something that is forbidden. And we know who is it forbidden by. It's forbidden by the Lord. You desire something, you want it really bad, but according to God's word, it's the wrong thing to want. Consider, for example, what must have gone on in the heart of Eve in Genesis chapter 3 when the serpent told her that if she ate of the fruit from the tree that God had forbidden, she would be like God, knowing good and evil. What was she filled with? She was filled with evil desire. The battle was already lost in her mind and in her heart, even before she reached out and plucked that fruit from the tree. She wanted something that was not rightfully hers to want. And the whole human race ever since that day has suffered the consequences of Eve's and Adam's evil desires. So if you have truly been raised with Christ, and the old rebel you has died, and Christ is your life, he should be your greatest desire. And everything that you want in this life ought to find its ultimate connection to him. But that passion, that desire for things that God has forbidden in his word, that is an old rebel you activity, and it must cease completely. That is a lingering old you practice that you must put to death. And finally, here we see the word covetousness, which God's word says is idolatry. And probably all of us here today see the word idolatry and we think to ourselves, well, that's bowing down to statues and praying to statues, which means I'm okay at that point. Are we? What does the scriptures say? The scriptures tell us that idolatry is not only the worshiping of false gods carved out of wood or stone or gold? What else is idolatry according to our text here? What is idolatry? Covetousness. So what is covetousness? According to one definition, covetousness is an inordinate desire to have more. It's also defined as the state of desiring to have more than one's due. What are things that people of this world have an inordinate desire to have more of? You can basically boil it down to one of two things: money and stuff. And typically you need the money to get the stuff. Money and possessions. And my friend, anything that you or I seek and set our minds on and love and treasure that does not have Christ as the ultimate focus, it stands in place of Christ in the place that He alone must occupy. Does that make sense? Which makes it what? It makes it an idol. You shall have no other gods before me, our Lord said. But when we set our minds on and we seek after and we love and we pursue and we treasure anything else other than Christ, that has become our God. That has become our idol. So my friend, if you have been raised with Christ and the old rebel you has died and Christ is your life, that covetousness, that inordinate idolatrous desire to have more is an old rebel you activity that must cease completely. That is a lingering old you practice that you must put to death. So going back to our illustration, the picture that Paul's using, these are body parts remaining from that old rebellious you body that has died. Does that make sense? Which means they have zero place in your life if the old you has died and Christ is your life. In other words, friends, when we see these things that the Apostle Paul is mentioning through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we must have a take-no-prisoners attitude toward these old you kinds of practices. You cannot allow any of these practices to continue as if it's not really that big of a deal or like it's okay because it's normal in our society. We can't think that way. And do you know why? Because of what verse 6 says. Look with me in verse 6. What is going to be God's response to these kinds of old you practices? What's going to happen? God's wrath is coming because of these things. Sexual immorality, evil desires, covetousness, people practicing all these things is the reason that God's wrath is coming. These things are the reason that God will condemn people for all of eternity in the lake of fire. These are practices of people that Scripture names sons of disobedience. So friend, you and I must come to grip with the gravity of what God's Word is saying about these kinds of old you lifestyles. If you allow these kinds of practices to continue in your life and you are taking no action to put them to death and cause them to completely cease in your life, you are showing evidence that Christ is not your life. And you have not been raised with Christ, which means if that's true, that the old rebel you has not died, but he is still alive and well, which would mean that you are still in rebellion against God, and because God's wrath will be poured out on all of his enemies, God's wrath will be poured out on you because you're still a son of disobedience. Now, verse 7 makes it very clear. These are things which raised with Christ kind of people used to practice. You see that there? It says, in which, talking about in these things, sexual immorality, evil desires, covetousness, these things, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. There's no question that these were a thing, a practice, a lifestyle of the past. And they should remain a lifestyle of the past. The believers that Paul is writing to here had walked. They had practiced these earthly deeds, these things which are normal in the lives of people who have exalted self as their focus, which is every single human being under the sun other than those who have been born again. That's normal for them. And using the body parts analogy again, these are the activities they have practiced when they lived in the body parts of the old self. But that's not true for the Christian. Our life isn't there anymore, is it? Our life isn't in those body parts. Our life is there. Our life is Christ. Our life is above. That's our livelihood. That's the reason for our existence. These are the things which are true when their old rebellious selves were alive. But that is no longer the case if they have died. People whose old rebel selves have died will in no way continue willfully practicing those old self kind of deeds. If you have died, if your old rebellious you is dead and Christ is now your life, you will desire and want to put to death any remaining moving parts of that old rebellious you. Is that your desire here today? Because we know that there was a fundamental change in our lives when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I may not be speaking for all of us here today. There might be some who are still in that old rebellious stage. And if you're here today and that's you, you need to repent of your sin. And you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But if you are here today and you have died to yourself, you have been raised with Christ, God has given you this desire. He has given you the longing to see that old way of life completely, 100% eradicated. Now we know that as we make our way through the Christian life, sin will still happen, but it won't be the norm because we have a new hatred for it, a new holy, godly hatred for sin that still lingers in our life. And we're going to do battle to root it out. We're not going to fall into the world's way of thinking that it's really okay. I can live in this sinful relationship and it's okay because the rest of the world's doing it. That's not the way of thinking that a Christian has. It's okay if I want more stuff and I give all myself to pursuing the higher paycheck and the greater, dividends I do, whatever manipulation I can do to get more. That's not the way of the Christian mind. That's the way of an old rebellious you. Now, we're going to wrap up this passage, Lord willing, next Sunday. We've been going pretty good thus far. But I hope you're seeing clearly. There are more things that Paul's going to mention here. So the list is not done. And even the list we see here in Colossians, that's not a comprehensive list. But I hope you're starting to see clearly what the raised with Christ kind of life looks like. And the mindset that goes with it toward our lingering remnants of sin. How necessary it is to put to death the lifestyles of our self-centered past as we seek to make Christ the center of every aspect of our lives. So I pray that you're seeing that, and Lord willing, we'll finish fleshing it out next Sunday.